Morning, we are taking a look at the sixth beatitude. And in the sixth beatitude, we notice that Jesus uses the words pure in heart. Pure in heart. Now, you know that we go through a process in this world, spiritual process. At some point comes our salvation. For some people, our salvation is at a very early age. For others, salvation doesn't come until later in life. The important truth is, of course, is that salvation comes. When salvation comes, we are saved. And then following that, when we pay attention to worshiping God and the Word of God, then we go through a process of being sanctified. And then ultimately, when we get to be in the presence of the Lord, we are going to be glorified. Now, Jesus says in this beatitude, talks about the pure in spirit, the pure in heart. Now, let's take a look at God's Word. We find this in Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1 through to and including verse number 8. So let us hear the Word of God. Now, when he saw the crowds, that is Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That seems to imply that the unpure in heart will not see God. So we're going to explore this morning. Let us remember that the Beatitudes, I've said so often before, are not simply random sayings by Jesus, but rather they are building blocks toward Christian maturity. And so as we understand the Beatitudes, we discover how we are able to mature in our Christian faith. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he said this, "And this is God's will, that you should be sanctified." This is God's will, that you should be sanctified. So far this morning, we've used the words pure in heart, we've used the word holiness, and we've used the word sanctified. Now, in many ways, all of these words have the same meaning, all pointing us in the right direction to be holy in the sight of God. How solemn it is when you and I think about it, that without purity of heart and holiness of life, there isn't the remotest chance of us being in the presence of God. The book of Hebrews, whoever the writer was, we're not really sure who it was. Some people believe it's Paul, and some people think it might have been Apollos. But whoever the writer was, he said this, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy." Listen to this, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Now that is a very solemn thought. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And yet Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So this morning, we're going to look at the consciousness or the awareness of a pure heart and the constancy of a pure heart. The consciousness of a pure heart. "Blessed are the pure in heart," said Jesus. The Bible constantly teaches that God is more interested in who we are than what we do. The fact is, what we are determines how we live, determines how we serve, and determines what we do. If our heart is wrong, our life is wrong. If our heart is pure, then our life is pure. So then, what does the expression "poor in heart" actually mean? In order to fully understand this expression, we need to have a personal and a practical awareness of purity. A personal and a practical awareness of purity. A personal awareness of purity. One great theologian said this, "According to the scriptural manner of speaking, the heart is not merely the seat of feeling, it is the disposition." Not merely the seat, but the disposition. What is disposition? Disposition It stands for the center of our very personality, and it involves the intellectual, emotional, and volitional life that we lead together. So there's something within us, often referred to as the heart, that causes us to be who we are, causes us to act the way we act, or the way we should act. So I'm going to take this theologian's words again, and I'm going to just paraphrase them a little. According to the scriptural manner of speaking, the heart is not merely the seat of our feeling, it is the seat of our inherent qualities of mind and character. The fact is, if anyone attempts just to change the outward and not change the inward, we're going to end up in a miserable failure. It just doesn't work that way. It's not the outward that has the influence on the inward. It is the inward that has the influence on the outward. Very cute little story. A young lad was desirous to plant a garden. So he spoke to his mother about planting the garden, and she said, yes, we can do that, but you've got to promise to weed it, to water it, and to care for it. Oh, yes, he says, I'll do that. That'll be great. So she went to the cupboard, and she brought down a package of seeds, and it was tomato seeds. Now, I know some of you say tomato, and I say tomato, but I say potato, not potato. However, there was a package of tomato seeds. And so he planted them, very carefully planted them. And then he went out each day, and he watered it, and he weeded it, and so on. And then one day, there was a little shoot that came up out of the ground. He was all excited. In fact, his mouth started to water. He thought he could taste the tomatoes already. However, a few days went by, and lo and behold, it wasn't a tomato plant that came up at all. It was petunias. And so he was greatly disappointed, and he said, I planted tomatoes. What happened? And his mother said, this is a life lesson. She said, it wasn't what was on the outside that counted. It was what was on the inside that counted. Now, that's the same with you and me. It's not on what the outside is all about. It's what's on the inside, because the inside influences our outside and what we do. We can all see the life lesson in this. The personal awareness of purity and the practical awareness of purity. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, if Jesus said this, which he did, then it must be possible to be pure in heart. The pure in heart will see God. If we're not pure in heart, we will not see God. So when Jesus said this, he must have been telling his disciples and all who read his words afterward, there must be a way in which people can become pure in heart. Interesting, King Solomon, way back in the Old Testament, he said, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Now, is he talking about the physical organ that we have in our body? Now, we know he isn't. We'll say more about that in a moment. Also, we read in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So again, this inner person, this inner being, this inner meaning that we have comes from within, and that's what makes us what we are. Medical personnel tell us all about the important action of the heart, how it pumps out blood through the arteries and receives blood back through the veins. We have this great circulatory system. Every time I think about the circulatory system or the breathing system or whatever else goes on in our body, I think of the verse that says how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created us. When you think of the human body and how one organ affects the other organ and all that it does throughout our body, it's absolutely magnificent. I do not know how people can genuinely believe in evolution. I believe in creation. Followers of Jesus Christ believe in creation. And God made us. He made you. He made me. And believe it or not, he has a plan for every one of us. That plan only begins to unfold when we put all our trust in Jesus as Savior. There's a little saying that used to say, you have a plan for your life and everybody else has a plan for your life. Well, it's not the everybody else that's important. It's not even our own plan for our life that's important. What is important is what God's plan is. And we only discover that plan, as I mentioned a moment ago, when we receive Christ as Savior and as Lord. This human heart, this body heart, this physical heart that we have conducts everything in our body. It allows us to live. It circulates the blood through the body. Every cell has the blood pumping into it. I'm told that our cells all change in 7 years, I think it is. All our cells are different. So what a praise God item this is, that God made us fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise be to him. However, we're not talking about the physical heart in our body. It does everything for our body. But now we're talking about the control center of our life. Our actions are controlled by our heart. Our inner being controls our mind. Our mind controls what we do and what we say and how we do it and how we look at people and whether we reach out in love for them or whether we have compassion in our hearts. All of this is done by our inner person. Our master wants us to serve him from within. Serve him not just doing general duties and details. Those are good things. But does it come from our heart, and are we motivated by our heart to serve him? We have to have the consciousness of a pure heart. It's a matter of conscious action to pursue holiness. It's the priority of life if we want to see God. We want to be sanctified. We are in the process of being sanctified. As each year goes on, we ought to be more like Jesus than the year before. As each year goes on, it is a growing process. That's why I've referred to the Beatitudes as building blocks toward Christian maturity. As we look at these and understand them at the depth of their teaching, then we discover it has a great effect on your life and mine. And we begin, oh, maybe ever so slowly, some more quickly than others, but we begin to think like Jesus thought. We begin to have the compassion that he had, and we want to reach out to people. I don't know if you've ever walked along the street and you've seen somebody in obvious need, and maybe it's a handicapped person, or maybe it's a teacher taking some children along, or maybe it's a person leading some people who are slightly developmentally challenged, moving along. And I pray for those people when I go along, and I say, oh, Lord Jesus, how wonderful it would be if you were here right now, and you could just reach out and touch that person or touch these people so that they would be healed. We would want all honor and glory to be given unto God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. But there are needs all around us, and we need to begin to look at those needs as Jesus would look at them. Then not only is there the consciousness of a pure heart, that is, to be aware of the necessity of a pure heart, there's also the constancy of a pure heart. Now, constancy simply means the quality of being faithful and dependable, the quality of being enduring and unchanging, being dependable, being responsible. There are far too many people on earth today who are not responsible. I try and encourage any young person that I meet to accept responsibility. It may be small to begin with, but then it will increase. Many years ago, I worked at Simpson Sears in Halifax. And when I left to come to another organization at that time, it was the Boy Scouts of Canada, my boss pulled me aside and he said, Lionel, we need people who will accept responsibility. We have people in our company who just do the work and get it over with and go home. They are not interested in accepting any responsibility for themselves or for the company. This company is going to go downhill because there are not people here who will accept responsibility. So as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to accept responsibility for the place where God has put us. Wherever we are to grow where we are planted. We are to accept responsibility within the home and accept responsibility in our church organization, what we do together, and in our work situation. We need to be Christians fully in everything that we do. And we need to keep in mind that when we are doing this work, whether it's at home, at church, in the workplace, we are doing it for Jesus' sake. We are doing it in the name of Jesus. We may be the only person in that group who loves the Lord. We may be the only person, and therefore, in a sense, we are the walking gospel. And it doesn't mean we have to preach to them day by day, but it does mean that they need to know that we look at life differently than what they do. We need to always proclaim Jesus. We need to have that constancy of a pure heart. And it means that we need to have our heart that is daily cleansed and duly controlled. Daily cleansed. Interesting, when we look at this word pure, pure in heart. That's the English word. It comes from the Greek word, and the Greek word is katharos. And out of that, we get the word cathartic. I sometimes have trouble with that word, but it's cathartic. And a cathartic experience is one where it's a cleansing that takes place. Sometimes a good cry will be very cathartic. Other times, it's talking to a friend, maybe even coming to church on a Sunday morning and experiencing Jesus. Maybe it is a time of prayer. Maybe it is a hymn that touches our heart. But every now and then, when we come to church, we may come with a burden. Some weeks ago, I preached on when we come to church, what we need to do is expect a miracle. We need to expect that the presence of the Lord is going to be there. We need to know that we are in his presence. And as such, he is going to do marvelous things while we are here. So praise be to God. So this is an experience that you and I can have. However, from a spiritual standpoint, we need to figure out how it is that our hearts can be cleansed. Now, just to set the record straight, let's go back to what the Old Testament says. The heart, remember now, not the organ, but rather the inner person, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That's what Jeremiah the prophet said. I'm going to read it again. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But then we hear the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a person unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a person unclean. These all come from the inner person. Whether our mind affects our inner person or our inner person affects our mind, I can't tell you. But I know that this inner person through our mind is what it is that directs who we are and what we do and how we do it. To help us understand how it is when we know before a holy and righteous and absolutely pure God that we have no right to stand. We are impure. Regardless of what we do, we are impure. So how is it then that the heart can be cleansed? The daily heart cleansing. There are four titles, but it's made up of six words. The four titles are blood, word, Holy Spirit, and blessed hope. So let's take a look at these. Blood, the first word. Blood as in the application of his precious blood. The Apostle John says, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. It is not somebody else's blood. It is not our blood. It's not the blood of animals. It is the blood of Jesus. Jesus, as you know, was crucified on the cross. At that point, he condemned sin and he conquered sin in order that all who place their trust in him, what he has done, that we can be pure of heart. So that's what the blood does. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing, O precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing else cleanses us. It is the blood of Jesus, our Savior, who cleanses us. Six words, four titles, four groupings, blood as in the application of the precious blood, and now word, as in the ministration of the living word. In John chapter 17, now this is a very important chapter of scripture. It's often referred to as our Savior's high priestly prayer because he prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for us. He prays for us even though we were born much later in the future. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, he said, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. God's word is truth. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now I want you to reflect upon those words for a moment. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have heard people quote that verse, but not complete it. They've said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is what Jesus said. But they don't say the rest of it. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we need to understand that these are the words of truth, absolute truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to the end of Revelation. This is the very truth of God. And it is through the blood applied to your sin and mine, the word being read by you and by me on a regular basis. These are two of the elements that help us to be pure in heart. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. And earlier Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Because of his word has the cleansing power. Praise be to God. King David said, how can a young man cleanse his way? And then he provided the answer. The answer is, by taking heed according to what? According to your word. It's God's word taken in and applied. The word of God has a way of cleansing the believer, heart and life, in a way that absolutely nothing else does. Now, often you and I will read a book of some nature, and often that book informs us of a particular situation. The Bible also informs us. But more important than that, the Bible transforms us. Other books do not transform us. It's the Word of God that transforms us. So when you and I read the Word of God, maybe in our daily devotion, maybe at other times during the day, during the week, when we read the Word of God, remember the Word of God is truth, 100% truth, and it is there to transform our lives. Transform our lives from what we are, what we were without God, to what we ought to be with Him. We are in the process of being purified, in the process of being sanctified, moving toward holiness. Now, you know and I know we will never be completely holy or completely pure until we end up being in the presence of Jesus Himself. But it is a process, and you and I need to work on it, and we need to remember it happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Him as Savior and Lord, the blood does not apply to you. But when you accept Him, the blood applies to you. And then His Word becomes a living Word for you and for me. And then the third item is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as in the operation of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes this in Corinthians, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. How? And by the Spirit of our God. This helps you and me to keep in mind that the one who indwells us, now we are, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So when we receive Christ as Savior, His Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and to live within us. And it is the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives that leads us to do the things that God considers to be right. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. We can't quench the Holy Spirit. We do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We do not need or want to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit. It is good for us to pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today that I may be used by you to do what it is you want me to do. There's a verse in Ephesians, I think, that talks about good works. And talking about good works, that the good works that we do have already been determined by God working through us. So before we do them, this is what He wants us to do. And the only way in which you and I can be attuned to the good works that He wants us to undertake is to listen to the work, feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit to do what it is He wants us to do. Six words in four groupings. Blood, as in the application of the precious blood. Word, as in the ministration of the living word. Holy Spirit, as in the operation of the Holy Spirit. And finally, the blessed hope, as in the inspiration of the blessed hope. Now, in John's first letter, he reminds his readers that when Jesus appears, that is, for every believer, we shall be like him. I don't understand fully what all that means, but I know that the word says we will be like him. We will be like Jesus. I sometimes wonder, does that mean we will have the same abilities that Jesus has? Does it mean that we'll be able to appear and reappear and disappear? Is that what it means? I kind of hope it does. That would be interesting. But we will be like Jesus. We'll be thinking fully as Jesus thinks. You know, Jesus is coming back to this earth. And there's a difference between expecting his appearing and loving his appearing. As believers in Jesus Christ, we expect that he's coming back again. Did you know that there are many church-going people who have no idea that Jesus is coming back to this earth? Many who have no idea that we are looking forward to his return. Many who don't know that he's going to come partway in the clouds and take every believer to be home with him. And then many don't know that at the end of that age, he's going to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we ought to expect his coming. But we also, by the power of God's Spirit working in us, we ought to love his appearing. Love his coming. Love his coming. Look forward to that time when he comes. Live our life as though he's coming today. It's often been said in the Christian church that we need to plan ahead for the next 100 years. But then what we need to do is live as though he's coming today. And of course, the truth of the matter is, Jesus could come even before we're finished this worship service. He could come at any time, and we need to be ready. A heart that is daily cleansed and a heart that is duly controlled. Here's an amazing statement by Paul. Now, we know that Paul was a great theologian. He was chosen by God to reach out, especially to the Gentiles, to give them the message of salvation. Paul reached out to the Jews. Many Jews rejected it. Paul went on to other communities. And while he preached in synagogues, he also preached on street corners. He preached to the people who were not Jews. And in a self-testimony, he said this: "For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, at work within my members." Now listen, this is Paul, the great theologian, the one chosen by God. He said, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Who will rescue me from this body of death? That's the question Paul asked. It's the question which you and I should ask. If we don't know that we've been rescued, then we need to give our life to Jesus now. We need to accept him in our life. But when we have done that, we know that we have been rescued. And then he concludes with this magnificent answer: "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who saved this wretched man. Remember Paul, it's interesting to me, Paul was a persecutor of Christians. And the Jews congratulated him and thought he was doing right. Then Paul became a preacher of Christ. And the Jews looked at him and thought he was doing wrong. Kind of interesting. But Jesus is the theme. Paul preached Jesus. Paul preached Christ. We preach Christ. Do you know him as Savior? Have you made him Lord of your life? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember the words of Jesus: "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." Not just to restate things, but just to make sure it's clear. On our own, we cannot be pure. The only way we can be pure is through the blood of Christ, through the word of Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, and the fact that we will someday be like Jesus. Father, we praise you and thank you for the work of your Spirit, not only in our lives individually, but also collectively. We pray for each person in this worship service this moment. We pray, O God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would reach out and touch each one. If there are any among us today who has never given his or her life to you, We pray, Lord Jesus, that they will simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and you're the only one who could be my Savior. I invite you to come into my life. I accept your free gift of salvation. From this moment on, I want to live for you. Hear my prayer, O God. In our Savior's name I pray. Amen.